Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
I've been on the radio in New Orleans for about 8 years. And then a number of years before that, I was on for about 2 years and a little bit in Baton Rouge as well. I guess all told, I've been doing radio for about 10 years or so, but I'm very happy, very thankful to God that He's given me that platform. And I don't try to say, hey, look, I'm Pentecostal. I don't hide it. But I don't preach a Pentecostal message. I preach to try and reach every Christian and every lost person. And sometimes I'll preach on the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, right now I'm rerunning a series I did on the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus takes His time and He talks about the Holy Spirit, which was soon to come because He was fixing to die and what have you. We understand Pentecost was 50 days after that, etc. So I'm not afraid to preach on tongues, but I want to make sure that people understand, before you get filled with the Spirit, you got to get saved. You understand?
Yes.
And then if you're going to get saved, you need to learn how to live a holy life and understand to rightly divide the word of truth and what have you. I try to declare the whole counsel of God. And the church that I'm most familiar with, I guess, in New Orleans would be First Assembly. I went there about 4 or 5 years all told, I suppose, and there's probably 10, 20 folks there that know that I'm on the radio, and they say, hey, I heard you again, whatever, and I'm thrilled. And that's good. But there are Baptists that listen, and there are Methodists, and there are little denominations nobody's ever heard of, and they sit on their hands the whole time, you know, in the pew, and they say, hey, I listen. And to me, that's fantastic. I'm so glad to be used of God.
Yes, amen.
So I've preached on the radio, like I said. I've preached in small places where there was only 3 or 4 folks. I've preached one time to about 1,000 out in Haiti. And I'm happy to be used in any way that God will see fit to use me. But I'm going to talk about myself a little bit today, and there's a reason for it. I guess that's breaking a rule. But, okay, fine, you got a new guy that's coming to town, been here a couple months, and, you know, you're sitting in church a little bit, preached once. Well, who is he? Well, we can talk about a few things, you know, my personality, I suppose, and I like to cook, and I really like to eat, you know, and we could talk about a number of things, I suppose. But there's something more important that I believe defines me. And that is how I approach ministry. And rather, how God has laid a course for me. And I don't care about me. I'm expendable. God doesn't need me. He can find somebody else 10 times better like that. He doesn't need me. So it's not about Joey Kelly, because I don't matter. What matters is Jesus Christ. But as we turn to the Scriptures, and I'm going to try to explain a little bit about how God has used me or had to take me behind the woodshed or whatever, I hope that you see Him. And that's what matters. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. And while you're going there, I know I'm congested. I know I've sound like I ate a frog for breakfast. So I got an interesting story about that. I'm going to make some rude noises here or there, and I apologize. I was down in Haiti, and I've been going there for, I guess, right at 20, 21 years. So I forget exactly how long I've been going on there, since, I guess, December 93. So 21 years, I guess. The last time I was there, I was preaching in a certain church. It turns out it was in the pastor's hometown. And here you've got a pastor and you got a church and this is it, right? I mean, he might have pastored somewhere else a few years ago, but this is it. This is his church. Down in Haiti, they approach things a little bit different. They'll find a town. Maybe they pass through there on the way to visit somebody, but they'll find a town and say, man, I ought to start a church here. So he'll rent a place or stand in the marketplace or something, and he'll begin to preach. And then finally he'll rent a little bitty spot about the size of a closet, and he'll start a little church. And maybe he has to maybe take 2 or 3 hours on Sunday morning, got to get up early and take the little bus or whatever and go out to that little town in the mountains or whatever. And he'll start a church. And 6 months later, he's got a little church, and he'll find a deacon, and he'll put him in charge. And the deacon will preach most Sundays, and every once in a while the pastor will come back. But while he's not there, after that church is started, he goes over here and finds this other little town and starts another little church. I'm not kidding. Friday, I had a call from, I don't know what it is, sometime this past week, maybe it wasn't Friday, but I got a call from one of the guys that I work with. And he depends upon people to help him financially. And I've been down to preach in his church, and he's come to the States, and I've heard him a couple of times. And I'm going to write him a little check. And that's great. But he started 20 churches in his lifetime, maybe. Another guy that I preached for in another part of Haiti, he started 30 churches in his lifetime. And pastors, all of them. Now, he's got guys that he placed, just like Paul. They go to one town and they say, okay, you know, Paul and Barnabas, and Acts chapter 14, they'll lay hands and figure out who's the leader, whatever, because the ones that God showed, and they'll say, okay, you guys are pastors now. We're going to come back later, write you a letter to. But that's the New Testament way. Not to denigrate the model we have in the States. I'm so glad for this church. I'm so glad this morning y'all sang some songs I hadn't heard in 30 years. Fantastic. The presence of God was here, and I'm grateful for that. I really am. But again, it's different models, different ways of doing things. But in Exodus, tell my story. Making nasty noises with my sinuses and everything. So, and I got sidetracked, and I apologize. We're in the pastor's hometown. And as it turned out, his mama lived right across the street. It also turns out that that's where the earthquake struck. And about 25 people that he pastored died. And that's another story. But we got to the church, and we got there early, because it's nobody cares about a watch in Haiti. It's just whatever time things started. We want to make sure we're early. We were about 2 hours early. And so we went visit here and went there, and I went praying in a vacant lot next door, and the whole time I'm thinking, man, Montezuma's getting to me. You know, I think I hope I'm okay, you know. And it got worse and got worse. I said, well, I'm going to hold out, you know, and we'll finish the service, and then I'll kind of, you know. So I get up to preach, and about 5 minutes into my sermon, I say, oh, pastor, I got to go. And he told the congregation, everybody laughed. And I went across the street and whatever, and, you know, and come back, and they were still laughing when I got back. So it's embarrassing. Like I said, Joey, don't matter. How embarrassing is that? You get diarrhea when you're trying to preach. But let's take a look now that you found Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. I'm reading one verse of scripture. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Heavenly Father, I'm so glad today to be able to open your word. Not the magazine, not the newspaper, not the psychologist's textbook, not something I read on the internet, but your word. I'm so glad that we have your word and you preserved it and we can open it and we can read what you said and what you're saying for us today. And I believe that this sermon, I believe I got it from you and I prayed through and I believe that you want to do something in the hearts of those listening. And we'll trust you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. It says that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now we understand that no man has seen God at any time, Jesus said, but you know, if you look at me, you see the Father and etc. We understand the passage in the Gospels. We know that at some point God put Moses in the cleft of a rock, little indention or cave or whatever, and God passed through and kind of let his backside be seen. We don't quite understand what that means, but no man has seen God face to face and live, etc. But it says that God spoke to Moses face to face. Well, what does that mean? I think it means man to man. Because look at the rest of it, as a man speaks to his friend. Now, he saw the burning bush and the finger of God and on the tablets. I understand all of that. But the point of this passage is that God spoke to Moses man to man. Just like a man would speak to his friend. That friendship part. It's relationship. I'm happy for the church. Happy for most churches. Some aren't. I don't really care to go to, but most churches I'm happy for. I'm certainly happy for the things that we have, the songs we sang, they're doing Sunday school for the kids over there. You know, we're talking about next Wednesday, I think, is the party going to eat a little bit? Happy for it? I'm happy for the church. But the most important thing in the church is that we have a friend. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I think it was Solomon that said that. We know that friend that's closer than a brother is Jesus Christ. He said, let me find the verse here. John chapter 15, verse 15. Henceforth Jesus said to his disciples, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now he's the Lord. He's the Master. All through the Gospels, called him Rabboni and whatever, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, whatever. He's the Lord. Just as in this verse, Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses. He's Lord. But he dares call us friend. Now I understand that God is so lofty and incomprehensible and etc. and so far above us, but he came down. In the Psalms, God bowed the heavens and came down and darkness was under his feet, just like we sang. Satan's under our feet, right? We just sang it a bit ago. Well, God bowed the heavens and came down in the form of Christ. We understand that. God came. God with men. Emmanuel, God with us. But it's about relationship. It's not about God wants a bunch of robots. God wants friends. Now we need to do what he says. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Make no mistake about it. We have to obey him. But doing so demonstrates that we love him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But we also need to love him. And keep his commandments as a way of showing. You know, I could have done anything last night. I prayed. I didn't fast, but I prayed a bunch. I got nice iron clothes, and I get on a roll, and I hate to iron. But when I get on a roll, I'll do it for an hour, right, till I get tired. I don't know, maybe I'm crazy in the head or something. But I'm praying the whole time, interceding, right? Asking God for all of my friends in different churches and whatever, in different situations, and I prayed through for these guys. If we love him, we'll spend time with him. Amen. If we love him, Instead of, like I said, I could have done anything I want. I could have gone to the bar last night. None of y'all would have known. But you know, God took away the want to go to the bar 30 some odd years ago. When I gave my life to God, and I told part of the story, I tell a little bit more, I guess. It was in South Stadium, number 221, I think. The dormitory there in the stadium for a while in LSU. I don't know if they do it now, but they got rooms up there. You look at it, they got a bunch of windows. Those are all dorm rooms, or used to be. I got saved in a dorm room at LSU, November 30th, 1984, at about a quarter to two in the afternoon. I know where I was. Do you know where you were when you got saved? I can tell you about it. But I said yes to the Lord. I said, okay, I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Stupid me. I said, if you want to preach, I'll preach. What do you know? He calls me to preach. But I think he had it all planned out beforehand. But I knew within 5 minutes, I didn't have to smoke no more dope. I didn't have to go back to no bar. I knew it. I knew I was delivered. In just a couple of minutes of saying yes to the Lord, I knew I was delivered. And I don't want to go to the bar. And I've never wanted to go to the bar since. Okay? Used to smoke dope. I wasn't really a drug dealer, but I've made a little bit of money off of it here and there. I would go to Fred's house, and Fred would reach, and you guys are old and you don't know, but he'd reach up underneath the sofa and there's a tray. In other words, there's dope on the tray. It's sitting under the sofa. For you old fogies, you don't know that. Well, I went back to Fred's house after I got saved, and he'd pull out the tray, and I'm like, what did I ever see in that? I don't want that. Because God changed me on the inside. God changed me on the inside. All that carousing in the bar, I didn't want that anymore. I had no desire to go back. He changed me. But let's look at Moses. Moses had a relationship. It says right here that God came down and, or kind of humbled himself, if you will, and came down and talked to a mere man, Moses, as a friend. Moses had a relationship. You know, Moses, we understand the story. His life is essentially in three parts, and I don't want to do a book report, and this really ain't my sermon. But his first 40 years was spent as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And at one point he says, well, you know, that ain't really for me. I'm really a Jew at heart. I really want to live for God. And that's part of his calling. I know later on the burning bush and, you know, the smoking mountain, and let me go see you, Moses, take your shoe off. I understand that's his calling. But part of his calling, part of his getting saved, if you will, a consecration or whatever you want to assign to it, was to decide, hey, I don't want to live for the devil no more. I want to do the right thing. I want to live for God. And I know these are my people, and I maybe take up a stick and kind of beat off the Egyptian, but I want to care for my people. Right?
Yes.
That was the first 40 years. And then the next 40 years, he was in the desert. And we can talk about the burning bush, and we can talk about, man, it's desert. There's like a lot of sand here. And I ain't seen no other village nowhere. I had a two-day camel ride to go to town, or whatever the case. We understand about the desert, because all of you know people, maybe even your son or your cousin or next-door neighbor, kid went to Iraq. They know about sand. They know about this water bottle I got. Thank you for it. They guzzle in that 3, 4, 5 to 10 a day, whatever it takes to keep hydrated, right? We understand. Back then, they didn't exactly have plastic bottles. And they were acclimated to it. We know sometimes 125 degrees might be a cool day. It's hard in the desert. There's no supermarket there. It's hard. It's difficult. And we can talk about that in Sunday school, and maybe we got testimony of our friends that went over there, but imagine living like that. Now, you know, as Americans, we've all seen, we've all watched John Wayne and, you know, the Rifleman and back then, 100 years ago, we understand what it was like to be in the old West, when there was no electricity, they might, we've seen the, you know, the train robbery and the telegraph lines, and but they didn't have washer and dryer, they didn't have air conditioning. And a lot of them towns back then, maybe at the railroad, but off, they didn't have electricity in those towns. And obviously, 100-something years ago, nobody had electricity. So we understand what it's like to not have the creature comforts. And you folks, your grandma, they didn't have that, right? Running water, got to go run and get it, right? Okay, fine. We understand what it means to be primitive, to live a primitive life, but let's put ourselves in the desert where there's nothing except sand and scorpions. And again, 2 days camel ride to go to the supermarket. It's rough. And then the sandstorm will come up, and we've seen on TV and whatever, it's like, oh, we got to cover everything, and oh, half our stuff's gone in an hour. Life's rough in the desert, and that matters. That matters, because that's where God called Moses to go. That's part of his calling and training for ministry. He spent time in the desert for 40 years. You know, Jesus, and it's, if you haven't figured it out, the Old Testament is full of little sketches of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, when he got baptized, full of the Holy Ghost, he went straight off into the wilderness, into the desert, for 40 days. And it mirrors the 40 years. And 40 is used other times. What have you, the children of Israel, they spent 40 years in the desert. What have you. But there has to be this wilderness experience. We can talk about the mountaintop experience where Moses went up there and was with God and got the law from God, the Ten Commandments, what have you. Again, all of these things mirror, or rather should I say, all of these things in the Old Testament are mirrors, are mirrored in the New Testament. We understand that Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, it says, I can turn to it, Jesus with his disciples went up into the mountain, and when he was set, he began to teach. And he gave us the Sermon on the Mount. We understand that the scepter will not depart out of Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, and before Shiloh come. That's in Genesis chapter 49. That Shiloh is Jesus Christ. We understand that he came. We understand that he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We understand that prophecy in Genesis 49. He's the lawgiver. When Moses went up on the mountain, he got the law. That is a picture of what Jesus did. He's the lawgiver, and he with his disciples went up on the mountain and sat down and got all comfy in his little easy chair, right? Well, just kidding. And he began to teach, and we have it recorded as the Sermon on the Mount. That's the same kind of thing. Moses went up on the mountain to get the law. Practically everywhere you look in the Old Testament, if you look, you'll find Jesus. You'll find it. It's called typology, the study of types. A type, one definition, is something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New. The greatest type there is, I suppose, would be, again, in the book of Exodus, on the Passover night. They took that lamb, a lamb for a house, and killed him and put the blood on the doorpost and lintel. Paul said, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And if you put his blood on the doorpost of your heart, he'll come in. And you'll be saved, delivered, spared from destruction and the death angel, which, of course, we understand if you're in Christ, you don't go to hell. Again, everywhere you look in the Old Testament, you will find Christ. And I've taught an awful lot about typology in my years of ministry. We can talk about Moses' intercession. He got on his face so many times, standing between God and the rebellious Israelites, and God was like, I'm not kidding. And Moses said, oh, please don't. I mean, here's reason one and reason two and reason 20, but reasons, all these reasons why you shouldn't do what you want to do to those rebellious folks. The intercessor goes between, and that's what Moses did. We understand that Jesus is our intercessor. He went between heaven and earth, hanging there, 6 foot up, whatever, before they put him 6 foot under. Thank God he was between sinful man and God. Thank God.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.